This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by
NordVPN. Get advanced security, internet freedom, and complete privacy. Save 73% off the 2-year plan plus 4 months free with code MMA Nuts.
Wild Alaskan Company, healthy, affordable, convenient fish sent right to your door. Save $25 off with code BIGFISH25. Liquid Web, one of the top hosting providers around. Save 55% off hosting for 3 months with code BIGFOOT. Hotel Collection, bring luxury hotel scenting home. Save 35% off with code MMA35. Defense Soap, everyday soaps for everybody. Use code MMANUTS to save 15% off your order.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 677. 677.
My name is Ingle Weigel.
Matt Groth, MMA Show. By my fans, for my fans, walk the line between serious and ridiculous. He's got nothing over there.
I got nothing. I'm working on that. Okay. I actually have a fridge back there that has not activated yet that I will make sure I have beverages and I can reach in and get whatever.
Yeah, that's smart. I swear, didn't I have a fridge in here for a while? I thought we were doing a podcast, we had a fridge.
You did. I think so.
At least I'm pretty sure we did. Like, when we first started, I think we had one in here.
Because we were never going to leave the basement.
That's right.
We're going to stay there forever. Basement.
We're here.
Why would we go anywhere?
You don't have to. You got everything you need. You got a fucking fridge.
Yes.
You're set.
Moving on. Right. Let's talk a little UFC 306, huh?
We had the biggest card ever in UFC history, I think. At least talking to Dana White. So UFC 306 at the Sphere. I think it was a celebration for Mexico.
Yes.
And it went so well that the Mexican fighters were 2-6. 2 wins, 6 losses. We didn't even have a main event that featured Mexican fighters. So even better. Great, great fucking idea. But what, you know, did you see any of the pictures, the videos? What were kind of some of your impressions of this?
Yeah,
I'll post some of it.
Some stuff. Yeah.
So I like the pre-fight press conference looked kind of epic because they did it outside of the Sphere with.
Right.
Like, that's pretty fucking dope.
I did not see this. That is real cool.
They did it like that. And then they had one of the Spanish fighters talking all sorts of mad shit in Spanish to one of the other fighters. And then the fucking translator is not even fucking translating it. He's telling the other guy, like, fuck your mother in her asshole. Shove your dick up her dumb fucking ass, you stupid fuck. And piss an ass in your face or something. And the translator is just, he wants to fight you really bad. You are not good for the sport. Like, we're on a different wavelength, buddy. I know exactly what he said. And he motherfucked you and dicked in your mouth and your mother's a whore.
There's a translation filter, you know?
That
language, that's what all that means in English.
Like, holy shit. If he was saying that in English, I think they would have cut him off. Like,
yeah.
It's like when Sean Strickland gets up there. But anyway, so we had that going on. Holographic Dana White.
Oh, yeah.
I'll post that real quick. That
holographic, a bunch of people.
Yeah, I think fighters were doing in there too.
Yep.
He was speaking Spanish. And he's saying, you're going to fuck your mother. Look at that dick in your asshole. Motherfuck you. Missed opportunity, though.
He
could have been saying, Corona, la cerveza más fina de Mexico. Corona. He should have been pawning all that or whatever. Modelo, la cerveza más fina de Mexico. Modelo.
Before we get into the card, I just want to give you a stat because I got this email a few days ago from Game Time with the leading app for last minute tickets. And they said that UFC 306 at the Sphere is the second most expensive event in Las Vegas history, trailing only the Super Bowl earlier this year. And they said the average ticket price was $1,681, which is 4 times higher than the average ticket price for all previous events at the Sphere. And I think the lowest price seats you could get at that point, like a few days ago, was like $675. And
yeah, but you'd have to have bought that in advance because you need to make sure you get a fucking hotel room.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Cause I know when I looked, it was I think it was in the $2,000 to $3,000 range because I was looking pretty early. I know the prices came down, but just some of the visuals, I might have one video Let me see if I have that. I don't know where the fuck I put that. Okay. Yeah, so they were saying, I think it was the most profitable event they've ever done, because not only did they make, I think the gate was like 23 million, but they sold the most amount of merchandise that they've ever sold ever at an event here. Wow. And you got to think about it, because who is actually going to this event? Like, if you can kick out thousands of dollars for a ticket, probably got some money, right?
You would think so.
Probably going to spend a ton on fucking merch. And they probably had some real cool merch, because I love that, those fucking sugar skulls that seem to be everywhere.
Let's can we show with... any video from the sphere? Like, there's a newscast I saw that where she's walking in. It's not the actual fights, but it's just like a preview of that. Can I show that?
Yeah, why don't you start, and then I'll add color in later.
Okay, here we go. I won't share the sound, but here's a newscaster. She's walking in from ABC News, right? Yeah. They're talking about some of the production of this. Like, look at this. Like, I didn't it, what they did is not at all what I expected it to be. It was like way cooler than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be weird and goofy, but some of those shots, like, just obscene.
Oh, it's insane.
You get the idea. I
got a bunch of pictures and videos, so I'll start with some of the pictures of it. Of like, it's, and to be there, like, it looks cool here, but when you're actually there, it doesn't make sense, because it looks fucking real. Mm-hmm. And this picture is cool because they actually shot, this is a bunch of marigolds dropping down on you. They actually did that too, and fucking shot marigolds onto the people. So there's like almost like a industrial strength leaf blower. So overhead, you see all the marigolds, and then this guy's blasting it. So you're getting like a 4D experience, which is kind of crazy.
That is really cool. Well, and the crowd, everybody had the wristbands on like they do at like a Coldplay concert, where they could sync it to whatever they wanted.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. And then they were showing live odds during some of the fights, heart rate monitor. So you could see this guy's heart rate's 158. This guy's 145.
How can they tell that?
It's probably built into the glove.
Oh, interesting.
And then just some more visual of like the backdrop. So I think they did it the smart way, because it's basically the two big screens and then whatever the background happens to be, mm-hmm. in case. So,
and it was dark most of the time for the fights, yeah. which was good, which I just, you know, I don't know. The one thing that was interesting is it felt very big, and I wonder if some of the echo was happening. It was like echoing off the screen or whatever. It's when he would do like the announcement, it sounded like he was in a giant stadium.
Yeah, because I think because the cage is almost right next to the sphere itself, mm-hmm. just because of how they're performing. So shit is bouncing off the back, because I know the commentators mentioned that, like, this, there's weird acoustics, weird echo. And I know a bunch of fans and a bunch of the media were saying the same thing. Like, it's a little bit off. So maybe it's not, again, it's not exactly designed to have fights there, but from an outsider looking in, I think they did it the right way, because I was worried that they're going to put all, like, I saw the U2 concert and there's just shit going on all the time, but it seems like they did the shit in between the fights,
right,
and then calmed it down somewhat for the fights. I just haven't heard a fighter say if they liked it or not, was it distracting to them or not, because you'd have to think they're in awe too. You're like, you walk out and you're like,
oh,
what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
What, exactly. Am I outside? Am I inside? What is happening? This is crazy, right? So we'll have to see. And then I'm not sure. What do you think the pay-per-view buy rate was for this?
I mean, 650.
I'd agree with that.
Maybe 800 if you give it like a special event like boost. I don't think it's anywhere near a million, though. I don't see that.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think you're in the ballpark. I think it's 650, 800 in that range, because mm-hmm. Dana was saying it was fucking massive, because I think a lot of people probably bought it just to see, like, what are these motherfuckers going to do? Like, how is this broadcast going to look different? And, like, the commentators were just drooling themselves the whole time. Like, almost every fight, they're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, this is cool. I just don't know if it's a distraction, and is that what led to maybe some of the weird performances? Hard to say. But looking at that, it kind of leads me to go, man, I hope they do it again. And Dana, I don't know what podcast he was on. I think he was on the Two Bears, One Cave podcast with Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura that came out today, which will be yesterday because this will post tomorrow. That made sense.
Whoa.
Deal with it.
Okay. It's like time
and,
warp.
He was talking, I guess they have a deal with the MGM and they have to have all the UFCs at one of their fucking events or one of their places in Vegas, right?
Oh,
it's
nice.
Usually T-Mobile. And I think the Canelo fight, they kicked him out. So they kind of fucked him. So he had to talk to the owner and say, listen, I want the sphere because we're going to be in this other place. So they gave him the sphere. But he said after that, he has to go back to the other place, probably T-Mobile, for the rest of the events under contract. But he said, I'm not fucking re-signing a contract with those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So at some point, I would imagine they're going to be back at the sphere. But there, one side of me is like, hey, it's pretty cool that they did this thing and it looks like it was successful. They tried something new. The other thing I wanted to mention, they also had haptic seats there for like 10,000 of the people. So you could, I don't know if they rigged it so when someone got punched that you'd feel it in your seat, but that was weird. Something else going on.
That would be weird. I don't know. If
I know.
Like
I don't want to get hit randomly. Like what the fuck is going on here?
You get KO to get a big black dick in the ass. Boom.
Fine. Like, hey, no, but I think they should have done a bigger card and I don't think it should have been based on Mexico. So maybe the next time, and one of the things Dana was saying is that a lot of people were asking, can you just do like a 4th of July one for America?
That'd be sweet.
That'd be pretty fucking cool. I don't want to be out there for the 4th of July, but I feel like you need to do a massive card. Maybe you do a fucking pride style. I don't know if you can pull off pride rules in Vegas, but
maybe. That'd be sweet.
Something.
Pride rules and 4th of July.
I don't know. I feel like they need to do more of these. And you could technically reuse some of the video. You know, if you built, like, I'm just thinking, like, you two, they were there for X amount of shows, right? Did, like, so you have your video package. You develop a video package, but maybe you can swap in, like, here's a new one. So you're not spending fucking $20 million an event. But reuse some of your shit. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like templates, kind of.
Yeah.
And then you just update
edit
those.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Add some new fancy shit in.
Yeah. I mean, looked cool.
Definitely did. Should we talk a little sponsors real quick before we get into the fights?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, guys. It's the best time of year. Football's back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. This is where your inner GM comes alive, setting the perfect fantasy roster, screaming at your TV, and making last-minute waiver moves that either make you a hero or the guy everyone ridicules in the group chat.
Nice. But listen, while you're over here making sure your fantasy team is dialed in, don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the beach. Let's be honest. No one wants to fumble their grooming routine. That's where Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp down below with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ears hairs with the Weed Whacker 2.0. This is the lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field. Join over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use code MMANUTS for 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of the grooming season.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MMANUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code MMANUTS at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything the season throws your way.
That's right. And this episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. Does Blue Chew work? If you're asking the question, we want you to know that Blue Chew is putting their money where your mouth is. This sounds dangerous. We were talking about Blue Chew. hard stuff, and mouse.
It does.
But they're going to be giving you 1 month free, Ingo.
That's fantastic and also crazy. Blue Chew is an online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but at a fraction of the cost and in a chewable form. It's a simple process. Go to bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and you'll be approved, hopefully, and you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the U.S. and prepared and shipped directly to your door. Best part, it's all done on the internet. No fancy waiting in the line at the pharmacy. And of course, you can take them anytime as long as you have some in your house.
That's right. And Blue Chew wants men rock hard. They told me that's the mission. They will not stop until every man is bricked up like a brick house, till every tent is pitched, till every rod is raised. Discover your options at bluechew.com. You might even chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. You try Blue Chew free. We use a promo code NUTS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code NUTS. Receive your first month free. That's bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. We thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Thank you, Blue Chew.
All right. And just like that, back to the show.
Let's talk a little fights. Where do you want to start? Main event, co-main event?
Probably main event. I want to touch the ring card girls' outfits. Oh,
yeah. Literally.
Quick. Hey, no. Well, they hire a bunch of Mexican ladies to do the ring card girling and some pretty epic outfits.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
The all gold. Got the sugar skulls. That's probably cool. My favorite. Like, I dig the sugar skull shit.
Some that was kinda, just weird.
Like, warrior, Aztec, probably, or Hispanic warrior. And then a little dancer. So you had that, and then we get right into the main event. Sean O'Malley, Rob Lavalle. I just call him Rob for short. What the fuck happened here?
Weird shit that started this fight. Like, Deshvalili was like yelling at the corner of O'Malley's, and then Herb Dean steps in and was like, "You can't do that. That's my job." Some weird shit happened. And then you got Sean O'Malley grabbing inside the glove at one point. Like, this is
he's like going for an armbar. It was kind of awkward. And to me, I know this is going to be a little controversial, but
don't say O'Malley won.
I'm not retarded, Ingo. Don't put that shit on me.
Thank you.
But I think he threw this fight.
Really?
Like, I looked at this. I watched it a couple times, and it's just like O'Malley barely threw any strikes. Maybe I'll throw up some strike counts later, but he was so flat. And anytime he was on his back, the lack of urgency to get up was stifling. I mean, yeah, he's going for some like submission attempts here and there, but it just seemed wild. The lack of output
total strikes by O'Malley. I'm looking at it
right. Like, that's insane. It's like he took the first four rounds off and then kind of came back in round five to do some stuff. And I literally scored it 4-1 for Marab. I think I gave round five to O'Malley. But even the way his coach was talking to him was just so calm and too calm. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Are we trying to win or are we trying to lose?
Right.
And it sure looked like we were trying to lose that fight. Because even they did a podcast today, like Sean and his coach. And Sean said, "You know what? I think I'm going to take a year off. 9-10 months, probably a year off." Like, you don't just take a year off for no reason. So the other possibility could be maybe he was injured. And that's why the performance. But he was fucking not there. 100% really not flat. There.
Well, the one thing that stood out to me, he had a really nice combo, I think, at the end of the second or third round where he caught him with a knee and like a 1-2 and a knee. And I was like, that was the only time I was like, oh, there he is. And then right back in his shell. So I don't know. I don't know. Could have been the moment. Could have been injured, like you said. Could have been some other conspiracy type reasons.
Yeah, that I'm leaning more to that because the guy's telling me he's taking a year off. You can't take a year off if you're a fucking champion. You can take off a year if you lost a fight.
Right.
So
like
champion.
Get in there and just lose, and then you can take your year.
Yeah, it sure seems like that. And then like look at the contrast of style too. So Marab, like, his motive was cardio, move, takedown. But again, takedown and doing all that bullshit, not the most exciting. And then what was all with all this gay shit where he Marab's got him down at the end of the round. Let me kiss your back. Kiss your back. Keep the gay shit at home. You want to be gay at home. I don't give a fuck what you guys do. In the octagon, that's not all right. Not all right.
Can't be kissing other guys.
And Herb Dean's like, that ain't right. You can't fucking do that.
Shouldn't have kissed him.
Exactly. They can't be kissing guys in the octagon. It reminded me of, who was it? Yoel Romero kissing fucking Luke Rockhold just after he knocked him out. Keep the gay shit at home. Right. Don't care if you're gay, not in the octagon. Unwarranted. That's assault, brother. So anyway, and then that was another one of those weird things. Like, what the fuck are we doing? A lot of weird shit in here. Mm-hmm. And then like O'Malley still trying to process his fight, but
did he have something to say?
I don't know what else to say. Just the strike counts. I think I want to pull that up.
Yeah, well, he had the 49.
Yeah, it was 214 to 49,
which is nuts.
It's insane.
It's like five times the output. And this is a grappler that obstruct him that way. This guy is a wrestler. You know, he'll take you down, let you get back up just to take you down again. That's like how he rolls. And he got outstruck by that. I don't know. I think you're onto something. You could be right.
Yeah, because then after the fight, here's O'Malley. Right after the fight, posts this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gotta work on my fucking takedown defense. Like, you're just joking around. Right? He's got a onesie on, like the wrestling fucking onesie. Like a
singlet.
Yeah, whatever that shit is. But again, it still points to he wanted to lose. That's what I'm sticking with.
He wanted out.
Yeah. I don't know how else that adds up, right? When you look at his other performances, if you're not throwing strikes, you're not trying to win.
Yeah.
You got to throw strikes. There's no, and I didn't hear him say he was injured. I don't give a fuck if he was. I just look at his effort, the amount of energy he had, and how the corner was talking to him.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up. Something doesn't add up. And he also, credit to fucking Marab. I fucking hate this style. I fucking hate it. It's killing the sport, but he was effective enough to win. Do I want to see him fight ever again? Hell no. I don't want to. These wrestlers kill the fucking sport ego. I say it all the time.
They do.
And Herb was trying to make it exciting because he kept going, we need action. You got to do something. And then the commentators are like, what the fuck is he doing? I'm like, Herb's on our side, bitches. We want action. We want striking. We don't want lay and pray bullshit.
No.
So I don't know. You got anything else for this fight?
No, I'm ready to talk about the ladies. I can see that.
Angry. All right. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk a little about Alexa Grasso, Valentina Shevchenko, and what a contrast.
Third fight, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know what Grasso's approach was other than let me get taken down and just try to submit somebody.
Submissions.
Like, I don't really understand what that strategy exactly is. Shevchenko, I mean, I don't know, maybe a couple times she was somewhat in danger. I think there was like a guillotine, maybe like a arm triangle type thing. Whatever, I don't know. So, but dominant performance, you know, wins the fight handedly. Grasso never really showed up, in my opinion, for this thing. I don't know what the game plan was, but it did not work. So, you know.
And it's another one. Is it the pressure of the fight? Is it you're fighting in the sphere? You have all of Mexico on your shoulder. Like, I don't understand the performance.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that was crazy is that the fight prior to this, Diego Lopez fought and won, and then he had to change and then come out and then corner Grasso, which was crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
Like, I just won. Let me go fight. I got to change and corner a lady.
Pretty okay. Epic, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's fucking cool as shit, but damn. And then I don't have anything else for that fight. Two other things. There was a massive cut. I probably have to block this out. I had a really good graphic version of this.
Somebody's
where the doctor
skull.
Was like finger banging this woman's gash. So this is Irene Aldana. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to have to blur this out because they have problems with that. But you can't really get all the details of this sweet gash she has. And it like starts in the nose and then goes all the way up. And
is that
then,
from a knee or what?
I think it was cumulative strikes. But I have video of her stitched up and it's fucking, she got Frankensteined. It's goddamn horrific.
Jesus.
Like, look at how many stitches are in there. And that doesn't look like a goddamn plastic surgeon did that, because they would do tiny and like, I have a scar on my head that's probably from here to there, and they put 27 stitches in it. These motherfuckers, oh God, her fucking eyebrows cut too.
Yeah. There's like 12 stitches.
Yeah, so 10, obviously 10. A plastic surgeon didn't do that. Oh, no, God. Sorry. So I'm going to have to blur that out. But yeah, this is what I was looking for.
Oh, man. That's too much.
A doctor's finger in her gash, dude. Oh, you can't do that. You can't show that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was supposed to get banned. Oh, my God.
But it didn't. She like unconscious for this when they're like, they knock her out?
No. Because I had a big gash like that on my forehead. They didn't knock me out. They're like, ouch. Yeah. So the Aaron Bronsister tweeted out and he said that Irene Aldana has absorbed a total of 505 significant strikes in her last three fights. On average, 168.3 per fight and 45.9 per round.
That's nuts.
That's Homer Simpson defense.
Yes.
That was like, the fuck was it? I think the same stats or similar stats are from Diego Lopez fought, was it Brian Ortega?
Yes.
Ortega did the same thing. He fucking ate a million shots.
He had a pretty big
again.
Cut too. Yeah, he got it. It wasn't very one-sided.
Yeah.
Lopez almost looked like he was toying with him the whole time. So, it's like, tough. Pow, pow, pow. Just kept catching him.
I just come
right,
in
with
and
that
I
right
eat
hand,
him.
Just every time.
Yeah,
gotta keep that hand up. Easier. I mean, look at me. Like I'd probably be one shot. I'd be like, I'm done.
Good.
I'm good. I'll go home. It's fine.
That's right. Yeah. So, not the most exciting main card. Some good fights on the undercard. That there was a Charisse and Van went to war. I was telling Ingo, I was telling you before we started, it was reminiscent of like the Forrest Griffin Stephen Bonner fight that kicked this whole fucking thing off on the Ultimate Fighter show.
Ooh, like, so I should go watch that.
Yeah, like they are beating the fuck out of each other, and then you get like that little comeback, and like, oh man, it's tough. That might have been fight of the night right there. I didn't see who won any of the awards, but. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not the main and co-main event, but these things happen. Yes, and I think Dana White was even, he was just happy. I'm happy all this shit worked out. The fights could be better, but overall successful for the UFC. And that's what we want. We want them trying shit, pushing boundaries, Fight Island, right?
Absolutely.
They didn't do that shit during the pandemic. You'd have no fucking sports. They gained so many people by doing that. It was such a smart move.
Genius marketing, I'd say. Like, yeah, for sure.
Fuck yeah. That was the only game in town. Like, you're either watching cornhole or UFC. That was the only sports on.
Yes. God, that seems like a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm. Never again. Never again. Speaking of which, let's do a little more sponsor action.
More sponsors. Part of today's show comes from OneSkin. Did you have a little too much fun in the sun this summer? It's no secret that UV rays can take a toll on your skin, leaving it dry, tired, and less vibrant. You want to hit the undo button? UV-induced aging? Say hello to OneSkin, your secret weapon against the summer's toll on skin. OneSkin products are revolutionary OS01 peptide, which is scientifically proven to reduce dysfunctional, also called senescent cells, a central source of skin aging. They have scientists who've shown that actually reverse the biological age of skin by several years in their groundbreaking research. Healthier, more youthful looking skin doesn't just look great, which we all want, obviously.
It tastes great.
But it's good for your overall health too. Right. As the leaves change color this fall, help your skin undergo its transformation with OneSkin. Their products, I don't know why I say it like that, but I do.
Because I
products,
like to say it like that.
Products OneSkin. Work tirelessly to repair, rejuvenate, and erase the signs of summer damage. Head over to OneSkin and explore how their products can become your skin's new savior. For a limited time, our listeners can get 15% off OneSkin with our code FIT15 at OneSkin.co.
That's right. And I love using OneSkin on my head and my hands. It's pleasant. It smells delicious. Make you, moist, hydrated.
Ooh, big word.
Younger. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. OneSkin addresses skin health at the molecular level, targeting root causes of aging so skin behaves, feels, and appears younger. It's time to get started with your new face, eye, and body routine at a discounted rate today. Get 15% off with the code FIT15 at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code FIT15. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, wherever. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. We only have one body, one skin, and you can choose to make it better. Age healthy with OneSkin.
This episode is sponsored by Lucy. Oh. This episode is sponsored by Lucy. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco free. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco free. To say it twice. Lucy isn't like every other nicotine pouch company that's owned by Big Tobacco. They're like the mom and pop shop of pouches. Pouches come in a variety of strengths from 4 milligram all the way up to 12 milligram. Lucy offers a variety of flavors, including apple ice, wintergreen, mango, and espresso. If you're not a pouch guy or gal, Lucy gum is available in 2, 4, or 6 milligrams. Set yourself up with a subscription and have Lucy delivered straight to your door. Save 20% off with code FIT20. No commitment, cancel anytime.
That's right. Let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/fit20 and use promo code FIT20 to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co. Use code FIT20 to get 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, danger, Will Robinson. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. And on that note, right back to the show. Let's see.
Let me switch gears for 1 second to not MMA, just for a moment. So Benson Henderson had a boxing match. Some guy named Iris.
Here he is. In the Misfits.
He was. Here he is.
Did a toothpick in?
I don't know, but he's winning. Avila, something about. Like that. So happy guy. First victory in boxing. Looked pretty good. I saw the highlights.
Good for him. So Elle Brooke was the main event. She won.
All right. Nice.
She also deleted like all her Twitter, by the way.
Why?
I don't. She was like an OnlyFans lady, and was posting that type of content on her Twitter account. Yeah. Then deleted it all and said, "I'm going to change who I am. I'm a boxer now." I'm like, that's an interesting switch. So okay, she's a boxer, so she won the main event.
Good for her.
She also, I think she technically drawed Paige VanZant in a boxing match. I felt like Elle won that fight, but. They're supposed to rematch at some point down the road here. But I think Paige is a power slap girl now. That's how she was labeling herself recently. So hard to say.
Yeah.
There was a lot of drama over the weekend with, I think I have it set later, but it kind of ties in the talk about Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler, right? So Michael Chandler, I guess, decided he needed to have a fight. So they made Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira 2 at UFC 309.
Okay.
So that fight's going on. So they had a BKFC over the weekend, and they're doing like a press conference with Connor because he's part owner of that. Mm-hmm. So Connor's saying, like, I need to get busy. He was saying maybe the UFC and BKFC can work something out so I can get a fight in. So he didn't seem upset. He just said, I need to have some patience right now.
Yeah.
So it's making me think there's a couple questions. It's making me think that the UFC kind of paid him to take a little time off for whatever reason that is.
Man, and look that's at you why, today with the conspiracies.
I know, right? That's why Connor's all, I'm okay with not fighting. I'd like to fight, but I can't right now for some reason. And then Jake Paul had a, we'll put it in your words, a conspiracy theory about Conor McGregor. He said, Conor's not fighting right now. He still has two fights left on his contract. And Jake is claiming that the UFC is using Conor as part of the negotiation for the new media rights deal. And that's why he's not fighting. So they're kind of delaying his fights to tell everybody, listen, we'll sign up with whoever this new service is. And I think it's in 2025. I don't know at what point, but you'll get two Conor McGregor fights.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's plausible? Do you think that's what's going on behind the scenes?
I mean, certainly, maybe they're going to give Conor a little cut of all this action too. So that makes sense to me.
Possibly, right? It's just weird because here's fucking Chandler who set out for, I don't know what, 2 years waiting for Conor.
Yep.
And then now he's not going to fight him. He's not fucking fighting him.
No.
He's fighting Charles. And then Conor said, yeah, I'm not fighting him. I think at some point he said that like kind of off the record, but it made it on the record. I'm not fighting him. Yeah. So I don't know who he's going to fight, but that kind of sucks. I hope the UFC took care of Chandler and just said, listen, we're going to give you Oliveira, but we're going to pay you like fucking $2 million because we know we kind of fucked you with Conor. And hard to say. Hard to say. And then one other thing related to this, and I'll throw it back to you, is that so there was a fighter this weekend. He, bare knuckle fighter,
mm-hmm.
got a tattoo. Want to get your thoughts on it? Ooh. Maybe a ranking from one to gay. So he got on his back. It's kind of hard to see. Maybe I can blow this up. He's got Conor McGregor and David Feldman, who's the owner of the BKFC, tattooed on his back. And he fights in the BKFC.
I mean, it's likeness wise, it's close-ish, but not perfect. But on one to gay, I would say it's extremely gay.
It's 100%. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
What the fuck?
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's pretty solid. Well, I have a story that ties to this.
Okay.
So BKFC actually announced a multi-year broadcast deal with the Zone. Just a couple
I didn't
days
know
ago.
Those guys were still, I know they were doing, I think, the Misfits shit, mm-hmm. but here we go.
Yeah. And this is from David Feldman, of all people. He says, our partnership with The Zone represents a major inflection point in BKFC's global expansion. This 3-year deal allows us to bring the adrenaline pumping action of BKFC to an even larger worldwide audience. The Zone shares our vision of elevating the sport, bare knuckle fighting, and together we will deliver an unparalleled experience to combat sports fans across the globe. And here's my conspiracy theory. I think these guys are going to give a serious run for the money against someone like the UFC as far as like getting guys to like move over potentially like for big fights instead of I think they're not going to compete with them as a brand, but I think contractually it's going to put some pressure on the UFC to pay the fighters more because this shit is growing
and make money over there. They're paying them a lot. And it's entertaining as fuck because it's a way smaller ring. And the smaller the ring is, the more action you get. And that's always been part of the problem with the UFC is their octagon is too big. Mm-hmm. And then when they use that smaller octagon and some of the venues that they fought in, way more chaos, way more action. And especially when you think of the size of the fighters, when you have a little 125-pound guy who may be 4'8", I don't know how tall those little fuckers are, you need them in a goddamn dog cage. You can't be in this 30-foot arena for these little dudes, it in my mind should scale for the size of the fighter, but they'll never do that.
6 foot cage for the 115s, 125.
You don't need to go anywhere. Fight in a fucking phone booth.
No,
I want action. I want action. So here's a new. Oh, speaking of that, let's show this new fight league and what the size of the fucking octagon could be. So I'm not sure what the fight league is called, but here's a little bit of the action. They're fighting. You got hot, looks like goalie mask on, full pads, and a stick.
Wow.
You're doing stick fighting. But look at the size of this octagon.
Small.
Two, three. They're 100% getting sued by the UFC because they're fighting in an octagon. But anyway, that looks like the perfect size. That might be a little too big or small. Depends. But let's just beat the shit out of each other with sticks. There was that fighting thing. God damn it. I can't remember who it was. Was it the Dog Brothers? They used to do stick fighting.
I don't
think it was
that.
The Dog Brothers. It's old school. It's probably fucking 10, 15 years ago. And they would do shit like this and just and beat the fuck out of each other with a stick.
Nice.
Sometimes that's what it's all about.
That's what's necessary.
I'm going to look at it up. I think it's the Dog Brothers. Dog Brothers Martial Arts. Here, let's pull the website up. Real contact stick fighting. Here you go.
You
this looks
it.
Like it's from the 80s, but Dog what Brothers Martial fuck? Arts. 20 years and going strong. Real contact stick fighting.
That's crazy. Still a thing, huh?
Yep. But because I can remember videos of this shit, of these guys stick fighting. I don't know if there's anything in here, but you get the thing. Dog Brothers. I mean, it was fucking... Remember how Krav Maga was, where the instructors would get irritated if you didn't literally choke someone? Like, you're not fucking choking that person hard enough. Choke them like you're trying to kill them. That's how these guys would stick fight.
Wow. That's okay.
Yeah, so good times, good times. What else is happening?
I don't know if we mentioned this when we were talking about Chandler and Oliveira, but John Jones, Stipe Miocic, is official now for UFC 309. It's scheduled for November 16th at the Garden. It's happening.
I love
it's
it.
It's going to go down.
And they're both going to retire after that fight.
You think so?
Yeah. John just said it. He's like, you can read between the lines. He's retiring, and there's no way Stipe is continuing. Stipe maybe will continue if he wins, but I don't even know how old he is. I don't think he gives a fuck anymore at this point. The last video I saw of Stipe, he looked like he was in great shape.
Yeah.
So, I mean, John should walk right through him, but John, again, nothing else to prove in the sport. Like, you just walk away. Like, why wouldn't you walk away on top? Like, one loss, technically not a loss, just a bullshit rule. And I think he'll be all right.
Yeah.
But again, I think he'll come back in some way or form because all these guys always do. But he's not a guy to do BKFC.
No.
And I don't know if you saw these pictures of Overeem. Once again, hurts my feelings.
Is he getting skinnier?
He looks like his child.
That's the same guy.
Here's 2008 Overeem. Look at this woman. Oh my God. I wish something was in my mouth. And that's him now.
Wow. He looks like a totally different guy. Like even the face looks baby.
Although someone's trying to say the person on the right is UFC fighter Herbert Burns, not Alistair Overeem. But I'm going to say that's Alistair Overeem. The chin looks pretty much the same.
That is not him. No way.
Look at the belly button. Same guy. Look at the ab structure.
I feel like this has been heavily photoshopped.
I know, right? But I've seen pictures of the Reem. He's very small.
Yeah.
Because I remember he used to fight at 185.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he was cutting to 265. He ate a lot of horse meat. A lot of horse meat.
He did. So I have one more quick video, and then I have KOs after that. So here's a video of Nate Diaz.
Yes.
Out in the club recently, getting into it with a freaking bouncer who doesn't know what's happening right now and who he's messing with. Obviously inebriated. Shit gets a little out of hand for a second. But what are your thoughts on this? This is just like, what's up with these fighters getting in fights with people out? You know, it's just stupid.
Well, I just asked the question, do you ever grow up?
Probably not. Nate.
I liked that lifestyle once. Yes. Like, let's just fight. Let's fight. I don't give a shit. But at some point, you got to fucking grow up and go, people are going to sue you. People get hurt and then people sue. So it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You should only fight in the fucking ring where you're getting paid for it. I mean, you're not going to get sued. This shit, and there's always that potential of potentially killing someone on accident or fucking maiming them. It's not worth it. It's just not, unless it's like 100% self-defense, and then you don't have a choice. The choice was chosen. You're just following through at that point. But
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's fucking retarded. But again, I'm not sure how smart some fighters are, and some of them, it's just fucking hardwired in. They don't know any other way. So
true.
I saw Dana White did a list of his Mount Rushmore of MMA. And again, it's just, you have to qualify of like, what's your criteria, right? Are you talking about who was the best fighter, who had the best pay-per-view sales, who was the most exciting fighter? So it's very vague what your Mount Rushmore could be. So it's basically, it's four fighters. His four was, let's see, I think I'm going to have to pull it up because I didn't write it down. Oh, he's got John Jones, Ronda Rousey, GSP, and Conor McGregor. So what do you think of his list?
John Jones, Ronda Rousey, GSP, and Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like somebody's missing, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I 100%. I think any list you start with has to have Hoyce Gracie. 100%. Without the Gracies, this fucking sport doesn't exist. They're ones who brought the sport. They're ones who brought Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I got to meet him early, like UFC 3. I met him in California. Got to train with his cousins. Got to see their fucking dojo and all sorts of shit. I had a lot of one-on-one training with them back in, what was it, fucking 93, 94, 95. I don't remember. UFC 3 time, right before UFC 3. And some of the shit that they taught me back then helped me so much on and any issues I had, because nobody knew what the fuck jiu-jitsu was. So like any issue was just like, oh, that guy's fucking choked out on the concrete. Like, what happened? Yeah. Like some shit happened.
Some shit went down. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, you have, in my opinion, Hoyce has to be there, grandfathered in 100%. And even in these videos for the Sphere, when they're showing like the UFC, like you have the big muscle man come out, first two fighters they show is Hoyce Gracie versus Ken Shamrock.
Yes.
Carved into a mountain, almost looking like a Mount Rushmore, if you will. I wouldn't put Ken Shamrock there, but god damn it, Hoyce Gracie's got to be number one. Sorry. So that's where I'd start. And then like, it depends which way you want to go. Cause I could argue a Conor McGregor. I can argue a Ronda Rousey. Cause you need without her, there's no females in the UFC.
Right. John Jones. You're like, eh.
John, there's no fucking way. Cause you got to think. And part of my problem is with having some of these people on there, they're a fucking piece of shit outside of the sport. Like Ronda Rousey's a fucking piece of shit outside of the sport. Did she do a lot for a sport? Hell yeah, she did. Did she do a lot of pay-per-views and make women and girls interested in fucking fighting? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But she's a piece of shit. Conor McGregor, you could kind of argue, did a hell of a lot for the sport. But transcended the sport.
Not a great person.
Piece of shit outside of the sport.
Yeah.
And what other fighter I could potentially throw on there, which I know
DJ
a lot
Penn.
Of, Well, that's fine. You can argue that.
Maybe.
I'm going to bring him up later.
Okay. Is he running for governor again?
He might be. What about Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, good, valid. I think valid.
When you think about, if you want to go pay-per-view sales and what he did for the sport and how much excitement he brought for a very small window.
Right. I wonder, he got sick, so, you know, yeah. And decided he didn't like getting hit in the face. So that I think those two go hand in hand, but that was exciting and entertaining to watch. He was a freaking wrecking ball.
Yeah, it was him and Shane Carwin. And I was just thinking about this the other day. There was a time where, I don't know, early on, Shane Carwin had watched one of our videos and apparently didn't like some of the things we had to say. And he threatened us early on. I forgot about that. I don't know if I could find that, but I remember him leaving a comment on one of our videos threatening both of us, which is fun when you have a 285-pound fucking monster who wants a piece of you.
He lives far away. Don't worry.
He's in Colorado. We'll be all right. He's not on the sauce either.
Did he also shrink?
He might have. Oh, actually, I think he's still pretty big, but
sorry, Shane. We didn't mean it.
I probably meant whatever I said. I know when we first started, we were saying a lot of aggressive shit.
Just to be controversial.
Just to be controversial.
We toned it down since then.
We toned it down. Yeah. Anyway. What else is going on? I just have tweets, KOs.
I have some KOs and a couple KOs. That's it.
Yeah, go ahead. Run them out.
So we have the BKFC over the weekend. KO. Here we go. Oh, let me just refresh it. Look at that. He freaking flatlined him. Mm. I don't even think he knows what planet he's on. It was ridiculous.
Oh,
nasty.
Sit down.
And then the other one I have is, I love these street beefs things. I don't know if you ever watch these. Sometimes I get into them for a couple of minutes. It's a little street beef action. Let's fight. It's coming.
You can tell one guy knows how to fight and one guy doesn't.
Freaking kick right to the face.
Ugh.
And good night.
That's he looks big. Like the guy from Beetlejuice.
Stiffened
the fat
up.
Boy.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll skip my KOs. Let me pull up three of these. I have three tweet of the weeks.
I'm ready.
Hopefully they're not videos because they just like to play. Oh, here you go. We're talking about BJ Penn. Apparently, he's broke his 7-fight losing streak. He defeated his opponent, Pete, by first round fucking whatever, KO. This is a street fight. He said, this is Pete. Pete found out he was allergic to hitting my daughter. Don't be like Pete. Yeah, we definitely have to be careful how we raise our children. I believe domestic violence, especially a man hitting a woman, is a learned trait. My parents would argue all the time, but I never saw my dad lift a hand towards her or grab her forcefully. God bless everybody. To be the best that they can be and possibly be. Fucking Hawaii, brother.
He was allergic to hitting his daughter. I love it.
Yeah, apparently. So he's winning in the street fight arena again. Good for him. So
that was a lot of tabs open, Matt. Holy shit.
I'm doing work. And then here's, is Jesus going to fight someone? It says, Jesus, 6 p.m. parking lot. Let it be known.
Like, remember that movie 3 o'clock High?
No.
You don't remember that movie?
What was that?
It was about a guy. They had in high school, and some crazy dude comes, and then it was like 3 o'clock parking lot, and that was like the whole movie was about this fight that was going to happen at 3 o'clock. I don't remember if it was good or not, but it was impactful when I was a teenager. You know, I was like, oh no, that's going to happen.
Yeah, that was high school. It's like after this period, we're gonna fucking throw it out. I'm like, all right, cool. And you throw it out, or you don't, and be called a coward.
Right. What are you, Chicken McFly? Yeah.
Nobody calls me chicken.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Nobody calls me Shakes McGee. I got one more. This is Mac Malley. He's talking about the UFC 306. He's like, I just know that octagon smelling like pennies right now. And it's weird because like the first time I saw that, I thought he said penises. And then if you scroll down, this guy, I don't read pennies. I'm not even going to say what that says. But you get the gist. There's shit going down.
Yes.
There's shit going down. I'll go a cool leg kick, and then we'll get right into Knowledge. So apparently some people like to have fun when they throw leg kicks, right? Let's show you how much fun can be had. We'll share a little sound.
I'm afraid.
Do a little dance, make it a little low. So here's a guy, he's telling everyone, okay, you're going to kick him right here, right?
Parts right over here. Right over here, it can do a lot of damage, okay? So one, two, three.
His knee bent the wrong way.
Uh-huh. And they're laughing.
But wait, they fix it.
Is he double? Is he double jointed?
He's got some weird condition that he can blow it out and blow it back in.
Oh my god! I was like, that's crazy.
That's wild.
You had me for a second there.
I know.
I was panicking. I was like, oh no, he's gonna die.
He might die. And what do you have for Knowledge? We could shut this down. We're running a little long.
I feel like, yeah, that's why I cut. I edited a ton. So here we go. I got a little toddler octagon playpen. What are your thoughts?
Nice. I love it.
Here it is. The toddler. I can't play the audio because it's
I feel
loud,
like that's what you need to put the 125ers in.
Perfect. I liked it. I thought it was a winning product. They don't
the
have
dog
a price,
fighting pit.
But I'm sure it's well worth it.
This looks legit. I got two for you. So one, This is on Amazon. So probably a better way to combine the words portable and monitor. The Pornitor.
$2.99. Perfect.
$2.99. You can't go wrong. 73 reviews, mostly positive.
Okay.
And then I saw a pretty cool shirt. It says, you a bitch and a half times two. That's three bitches, you pussy motherfucker. It's like a Nate Diaz shirt.
It is. That's like tomorrow, today, and yesterday when you were talking about earlier. Like,
yeah.
What are we talking about?
It made sense. It made sense.
It probably, when you listen back, you're like, that totally made sense.
Tale of the Table show. It made sense.
Yes, sir. All right.
Well, shut it down.
That has been this week's edition of MMA Notes. My name is Ingle Weigel.
Magra, thanks for playing.